Well, hello, my brother, see and seer. I'm Garrett with IDC Woodcraft, and I'd like to welcome you to this podcast or video where we're going to talk to a brother, see and seer. His name is Jeff, and Jeff has been in the CNC space for about a year, I suppose. He can tell the story here shortly, and has found it to be something that he really wants to do and is kind of finding his direction in it, and has run into kind of a, how would we say, a little bump in the road that has really forced him to network out into this space. So Jeff, I'm going to let you introduce yourself and just kind of get everybody up to speed with where you're at, so that whoever's listening to this can have an idea of what this is about. The intention of this is to give you, as the viewer or listener, some guidance into getting into the CNC space in a business and understanding how to navigate some things that you may run into as you go along in your journey in starting your own business. So Jeff, first of all, why don't you just take a moment and introduce yourself so that the viewer listener knows what's going on here.
Well, yeah, thank you, Garrett. My name is Jeff, and yeah, I've been dabbling in CNC for, you know, I'd say a little over a year now. And, you know, I know, again, I was on one of your streams before, and we were talking about kind of my part-time direction with kind of where I was going with it. And so I was still kind of working on designing custom wood signs, trying to really get that out there to consumers on a really part-time basis, because I had a full-time job that I was doing. And so, you know, that was really slow. I was okay with the growth being really slow because of the fact that I did have a full-time 9-to-5. And it wasn't really critical for growth at that time. So, but now I'm at a point now where I recently been let go from that job, and I've actually been looking for other just kind of regular 9-to-5s very recently within the last 2 weeks, but honestly I've had no bites right now. So the one thing I kind of have to really try to rely on is to try to grow my business, because that's something that I have right in front of me right now. So that's kind of where I've been at. The last 3 months has been really slow business wise, because I've been really consumed with my 9-to-5. So I didn't really have a ton of time to put into that, to grow my business. But now that's pretty much all I have right now, is that time in between just filling out applications to try to get something solid.
Okay. Thanks for sharing that. So basically Jeff has lost his job by no control of his own. And it's one of the things that happens from time to time, especially in the times that we're in the world today, where business has been significantly affected by COVID, inflation, and what have you. And so Jeff is one of the unfortunate victims of cutbacks. I have had the fortune of talking to Jeff for quite a while here and there to see his progress and his general attitude in life and in approaching this CNC space. With what I've gotten a feel from you, Jeff, is there's a certain pull that you have to get into this, a certain passion that you're kind of feeling with this. Am I reading you right on this?
Yes, 100%. Yeah. Yeah, I by nature, I'm a creator. I like creating. I like helping people. The only part of sales that I really like, which I've been in sales for like 14 years, is that at the end result, it's to get people that are buying it to be better than where they were before they purchased the product, or to at least be happier, to be more satisfied. And the one thing that I've really come to see with not only the really fun aspect of learning the mechanics, the software, the design process with CNC, but the end result is you have this math equation that at the end of it, you have someone who's personally affected by it. You have someone who is emotionally impacted by the product. And, you know, I've literally had people when they gave my products as a gift, they said, oh yeah, that she got something that personalized. And that's that's a huge component of why I like this business, is you're able to create art, true art, and make it a commodity, make it something that is a desire for other people. And it's something you made. So that's where my passion is with this whole business.
Okay. Yep. You're kind of stepping into a space that I think a lot of people feel, and I want to restate what I just heard from you. And just so you know, the viewer, there's a little lag time with Jeff here, so just bear with it. It's just part of Zoom and what have you. So what I heard from you is there's this appreciation for being able to create something from nothing, from the mind, right? From someone's idea, and then to give it to them. And what is the reward for you when you do that, that maybe you don't experience in like a 9-to-5?
Well, you have a lot less opportunities at a 9-to-5 with it because there's so many rules, restrictions. But when you're creating something yourself and you don't really have anyone kind of telling you how to do your work, you have that freedom to kind of make it the way that you want or the way that they want. But it's there's a real sense of fulfillment when you are giving someone something, even though they're paying for it. It's they're paying for you to translate what they want, what their desire is, to be concrete, to be a physical object, which to them is very important.
Mm-hmm. And how does that feel for you that when the deal is done, you've done it, you've created something, and you give it to them?
You feel accomplished. You feel proud. You feel important. You feel needed. It's truly a sense of, like, it gives me a sense of purpose to know that this is something that I can fulfill that need for people, you know?
Isn't that what life really is about, to find fulfillment in ourselves and to give other people fulfillment as well? Do you agree with that statement?
Okay. 100%.
Yeah. Okay. So that's kind of Jeff in where he's at. He's now in a position of, the money has to come in and he needs to find something to make that happen. And he's also elaborated on why is CNC routers, which is what he's specifically working with, this thing that seems to push his buttons in a very nice way of self-expression and creativity. So the reason that this is being this little talk that we are doing right now for you who's listening or watching is to talk to Jeff a little bit about some questions he's been asking me and the direction he's going in and what some of the things that are happening with him right now. And when he communicated it to me, I felt that it was we needed to talk to help him navigate down this road to not only be able to get the business that he wants to get, but also get it at a level of loyalty from a customer. The best customer you can ever have is the customer that comes back. And the best customer is the one you've got an ongoing relationship with. So let's dive into the direction you've been heading in now and what really connected us here for me to want to talk to you and create this content, this video for our brother or sister CNC-er. I wanted to stop for just a moment to talk to you and say, if you are interested in the CNC stuff, you may want to jump on my YouTube channel, IDC Woodcraft, and start learning about it. You know, there's something about having your own thing. And that's what this episode is all about anyway, with Jeff. What you're going to find out is he really wants his own life back. We're going to dive into this now, but I just want you to know, if you're in that position in life where you're questioning things and you're thinking, I don't know if I want to be doing this kind of thing for the rest of my life, and have I really done what I wanted to do? Then you may want to consider this whole CNC thing where you create things yourself. Check out the IDC YouTube channel and start to learn, get inspired, because inside we are all creators. All right, let's get back to this. Well, hello, my brother CNC-er. I'm Garrett with IDC Woodcraft, and I'd like to welcome you to this podcast or video where we're going to talk to a brother CNC-er. His name is Jeff, and Jeff has been in the CNC space for about a year, I suppose. He can tell the story here shortly, and has found it to be something that he really wants to do, and is kind of finding his direction in it, and has run into kind of a, how would we say, a little bump in the road that has really forced him to network out into this space. So, Jeff, I'm going to let you introduce yourself and just kind of get everybody up to speed with where you're at, so that whoever's listening to this can have an idea of what this is about. The intention of this is to give you, as the viewer or listener, some guidance into getting into the CNC space in a business and understanding how to navigate some things that you may run into as you go along in your journey in starting your own business. So, Jeff, first of all, why don't you just take a moment and introduce yourself so that the viewer listener knows what's going on here.
Well, yeah, thank you, Garrett. My name is Jeff, and I've been dabbling in CNC for, I'd say a little over a year now. I was on one of your streams before, and we were talking about kind of my part-time direction with kind of where I was going with it. And so I was still kind of working on designing custom wood signs, trying to really get that out there to consumers on a really part-time basis, because I had a full-time job that I was doing. And that was really slow. I was okay with the growth being really slow because of the fact that I did have a full-time 9-to-5. And it wasn't really critical for growth at that time. So, but now I'm at a point now where I recently been let go from that job, and I've actually been looking for other just kind of regular 9-to-5s very recently, within the last 2 weeks, but honestly I've had no bites right now. So the one thing I kind of have to really try to rely on is to try to grow my business, because that's something that I have right in front of me right now. So that's kind of where I've been at. The last 3 months has been really slow business-wise, because I've been really consumed with my 9-to-5. So I didn't really have a ton of time to put into that, to grow my business. But now that's pretty much all I have right now, is that time in between just filling out applications to try to get something solid.
Okay, thanks for sharing that. So basically, Jeff has lost his job by no control of his own. And it's one of the things that happens from time to time, especially in the times that we're in the world today, where business has been significantly affected by COVID, inflation, and what have you. And so Jeff is one of the unfortunate victims of cutbacks. I have had the fortune of talking to Jeff for quite a while here and there to see his progress and his general attitude in life and in approaching this CNC space. With what I've gotten a feel from you, Jeff, is there's a certain pull that you have to get into this, a certain passion that you're kind of feeling with this. Am I reading you right on this?
Yes, 100%. Yeah. Yeah, I by nature, I'm a creator. I like creating. I like helping people. The only part of sales that I really like, which I've been in sales for like 14 years, is that at the end result, it's to get people that are buying it to be better than where they were before they purchased the product, or to at least be happier, to be more satisfied. And the one thing that I've really come to see with not only the really fun aspect of learning the mechanics, the software, the design process with CNC, but the end result is you have this math equation that at the end of it, you have someone who's personally affected by it, You have someone who is emotionally impacted by the product. And, you know, I've literally had people when they gave my products as a gift, they said, oh yeah, that she got something that personalized. And that's a huge component of why I like this business, is you're able to create art, true art, and make it a commodity, make it something that is a desire for other people. And it's something you made. So that's where my passion is with this whole business.
Okay. Yep. You're kind of stepping into a space that I think a lot of people feel, and I want to restate what I just heard from you. And just so you know, the viewer, there's a little lag time with Jeff here, so just bear with it. It's just part of Zoom and what have you. So what I heard from you is there's this appreciation for being able to create something from nothing, from the mind, right? From someone's idea, and then to give it to them. And what is the reward for you when you do that, that maybe you don't experience in like a 9-to-5?
Well, you have a lot less opportunities at a 9-to-5 with it because there's so many rules, restrictions. But when you're creating something yourself and you don't really have anyone kind of telling you how to do your work, you have that freedom to kind of make it the way that you want or the way that they want. But it's there's a real sense of fulfillment when you are giving someone something, even though they're paying for it. It's they're paying for you to translate what they want, what their desire is, to be concrete, to be a physical object, which to them is very important.
Mm-hmm. And how does that feel for you that when the deal is done, you've done it, you've created something, and you give it to them?
You feel accomplished. You feel proud. You feel important. You feel needed. It's truly a sense of, like, it gives me a sense of purpose to know that this is something that I can fulfill that need for people, you know?
Isn't that what life really is about, to find fulfillment in ourselves and to give other people fulfillment as well? Do you agree with that statement?
Okay. 100%.
Yeah. Okay. So that's kind of Jeff in where he's at. He's now in a position of, the money has to come in and he needs to find something to make that happen. And he's also elaborated on why is CNC routers, which is what he's specifically working with, this thing that seems to push his buttons in a very nice way of self-expression and creativity. So the reason that this little talk that we are doing right now for you who's listening or watching is to talk to Jeff a little bit about some questions he's been asking me and the direction he's going in and what some of the things that are happening with him right now. And when he communicated it to me, I felt that it was we needed to talk to help him navigate down this road to not only be able to get the business that he wants to get, but also get it at a level of loyalty from a customer. The best customer you can ever have is the customer that comes back. And the best customer is the one you've got an ongoing relationship with. So let's dive into the direction you've been heading in now and what really connected us here for me to want to talk to you and create this content, this video for our brother or sister CNC-er. You've approached a company.
Yeah. So to kind of tell you my short journey that I've had in the last couple of weeks is at the company that I was at before that recently let me go, I worked in a service department at a dealership. And, you know, this couple who's an owner of a business that's local to me, they make signs out of like vinyl cutouts. So they don't do any CNC routing. It's all vinyl cutters and very flat signs, but they're professional. They do the vinyl signs for like vehicles, things like that. But they do a lot of signage inside buildings, like exit signs, things like that. But we just kind of started talking repair, and I just kept it in the back of my head, like, oh, that's really cool. You know, I shared some of my stuff, and they thought it was really cool. And, you know, they said, hey, yeah, you know, reach out to us. You know, I might want to do something for my own home. And so, you know, I reached out to them, I never kind of got a response with that, but I'm sure they were busy. But obviously in the position that I was at now, I'm like, probably a good idea to talk to these people, because I really don't have any other way to go right now. Nothing immediate. And I was really trying to network locally with what I'm looking to do, which I'm looking to create custom signs and to sell them in my local area. So at least one facet of what I'm looking at. So I walked in there to their facility, and you know, I basically asked to speak to the owner, and you know, they remembered me pretty much right away. And you know, I just introduced myself. I'm like, hey, you know, my name's Jeff. I'm sure you remember me from the dealership. So I just kind of explained kind of what was going on, that I'm in between jobs. But this is something I'm really trying to pursue and to try to solidify if I can. So handed them my business card, and they pretty much, you know, immediately were like, well, hey, we have products that we have to have cut out all the time. And her and her husband were kind of just talking in front of me, and they're like, yeah, I mean, it'd be really great if we could have someone local do some of our CNC stuff, you know, shapes we need to get cut out of, like the laminated, you know, aluminum plastic or the ACM or corrugated plastics. So they gave me like 4 sheets of the stuff, and they're like, hey, you know, see if your machine can handle this, and, you know, cut something out, bring it back, and maybe we can work with you. So they seemed very supportive. They started their business in like a corner of an auto repair shop when they started, because they started kind of where I'm starting at now. And so they understand. So it really looks like they're trying to be supportive of local business. And that's exactly what I'm trying to do, is connect with those local businesses to see if I can make something work. And they're like, hey, no rush, just, you know, see if you can cut it, see if, you know, your machine can handle it, and get back to us. So as soon as I went home, set up my machine, researched some feeds and speeds, I asked in the entrepreneur Facebook group of like, hey, has anyone worked with ACM? What feeds and speeds, what bits have you guys used that work for you? I got a really quick response from the entrepreneurs group, and pretty much just set up my machine with the O-flute bit with it, cut out the shape that they know, I know that they cut regularly, and cut like butter. And I was really excited. So I did the same thing with the corrugated plastic. Still got to fine tune that a little bit, but you know, I cut out those 2 shapes. I was really satisfied with the shape and being able to quickly take a PNG and do like a photo trace, make sure the edges are smoothed out, so it's a really good general shape for it. And then, you know, this is a product where they're going to put their vinyl for the details, but it's just cutting the general shape. So as soon as I got that cut out, the next day, dropped it off. The owners weren't there at the time. I think they were out with another client, but you know, they should be back like Tuesday. So I'm sure I'll hear back from them. And we'll try to work something out. So that's really exciting opportunity. And there's nothing concrete. This is just kind of the beginning talks to try to build a relationship with a local company.
Okay. Thank you for walking through that whole process. One of the things that I wanted to mention first, you had already had a little established rapport with this particular person or with the company through your ex-dealership days.
Yes. So they were the owners, and it was a husband and wife kind of team. And yeah, they brought in their vehicle for repair on on a, like their van that they use for personal and business. And I just noticed the name of the company. That was the name for the car in my system. So I was like, hey, did you guys make signs? And then it just was this natural back and forth, and then showing me stuff and me showing them stuff. So it was just small talk is what it was to start. But I always have that thing in the back of my head of this could always be useful later, always. So, you know, it's the same reason why when I was working there, I had a sign that I carved myself, where I had my name and my role out of walnut that I carved on the machine, which had really good detail because I wanted a conversation starter. I wanted something like, oh, that's really cool. Where'd you get that? Oh, I made that myself. You know, to create those opportunities to express your passion, so that people know about it. People will remember that passionate interaction or that passionate person about that subject.
Okay. You've brought up a couple of good points. Number one is there's a certain foresight that you've been operating under by, okay, I'm going to create something that's really cool. And it's got a decent level of detail in it that's going to catch the eye and be a conversation starter and have that position in a way that it can be a conversation starter. So what I'd like to relay to you who's watching, that this whole concept of starting your own CNC business, you do want to have a little bit of foresight in what you're doing to where you want to go, how to get yourself positioned so that you can have that network going down the road. Jeff also said something that when he noticed that sign on the car, it caught his attention. And so he retained that. You were aware of that moment of, oh, there's something here. And so what I want to relate to you on this note is when you get that little feeling, I want you to just take that extra second to plug it into your conscious mind that there could really be something here for down the road. In my perspective, it's God or our spirit, whatever, talking to us saying, remember this one because you're going to need it later. And so this is the kind of thing that you ran into. So the approach is really good. That the other thing is you started off a conversation in a very organic way with them, and you did something foundational that I want to press home to anyone who is getting into business. From the story you just told me, you asked them about their business. In business, no matter what we do, nobody cares about us. They care about what they want. And there's this idea that we all want to be made to feel special, have attention put on us. So when Jeff is starting to ask them about their business, they're going to blab away, say, yeah, especially if he's coming across with the right positive energy. And that has a resonance with them too. If you make your business or your products about you, and I've got this cool thing that I've made and it's made out of wood and it's got all this fine detail and I did it with a V-bit and on and on and on, but nobody cares, right? Sales are never about the project itself. It's always about the relationship and the meaning or the emotional value of the project. So the whole thing in the staging of this, little did Jeff realize that he was actually staging himself for what he was going to need a little bit later, but he was aware of it, was this whole approach of this is about them. It's an opportunity for me. I need to manage this in the right way. And your own nature allowed you to do that. So that's one of the things that I found was really interesting. So you've made a project, or you approached them. They said, yeah, they gave you some ACM. And by the way, ACM is basically PVC with thin aluminum sheets on the top and on the bottom. And it's very easy to machine. once you go ACM, you'll never go back because it machines very easy, clean. It's very durable for outdoors. It comes in lots of colors. And Jeff, how long did it take you to cut the shape? It was about this big. Is that right?
Roughly. Yeah. It probably only took as long as it did because I did a 5-degree rampin. It took less than a minute to cut the single shape, under a minute for it to actually, once it was plunged, to do the full outline and done. So I just did double-sided tape so I didn't have to worry about tabs and having to cut, because I wouldn't know how to clear up the tabs with it only being an eighth inch thick, because my flush trim wouldn't be able to get that piece because the bearing and the blade would be too far apart. Mm-hmm. But I just double-sided tape to hold it down so I could just blaze through it. I probably could have gone faster, but I did it at 50 inches a minute with a 1/8 inch O flute. Mm-hmm. Other people were telling me that they did like 150 inches a minute at like 1800 RPMs and was still doing fine with that same diameter bit. I was just trying to go very conservative at first, but it still took less than a minute for that single shape.
Okay, cool. I'll do a video with the ACM. I have to, because it's such a cool material to work with. So I'm keeping notes as we go when something kind of catches my attention. We'll come back to these in a minute. So right now you're left in the position of you've dropped this thing off to them. And they're not going to be back until later. One of the things that I would strongly from now on encourage you to do, or anyone else, is there's certain rules of business when it comes to doing business. One is always be in touch with the decision makers. So Jeff did approach the decision makers, the owners of the business. Bringing the project back and dropping it off, you want to come back in from now on to the decision makers. If they weren't going to be there and you knew they weren't going to be there, or if you could find out, then be there when they're there. So the conversation can take off right from there when you say, here it is, what do you think? And they're going, oh, wow. You know, and then you can, the reason I say this is because by our very nature, things can be really important right up front, but over time, that level of importance will drift away. And so you want to catch it at the height of the emotional, whatever it may be. It's kind of like I'm going to take this to a different space for a second. Let's say that you're looking for a CNC router, you decide you're going to get it, and then you start researching routers and you get more and more confused, and it gets harder, and you start getting a feeling like you start getting, I don't even know if I want to go here. And that's because the decision factor, we want to catch decisions in the height of the moment. And if we stay in the space of decision or options, I'm going to talk about this in a minute, that starts to leave us in this kind of confused space, or things are getting a little cloudy. And when people are confused, they don't buy. So the whole, I said, I'm taking this into a different space, but this is really vital to understand. When, if you are taking a project to somebody, if you're promoting, if you're at a craft show, if you're online and you get on the phone with someone, it doesn't matter. And if you start telling them, yeah, I can make this out of a flag, we'll just say a flag, and I can make this out of poplar or oak, or I can even do walnut for you, and we can color these stripes green, blue, and yellow instead of red, white, and blue. And when you start adding things on top of you, you end up creating a situation where you're creating too many options, too much confusion. What you want to do is just lead them down their tunnel to what they want and let them do the closing. So if they're asking about different things, then you can answer it, but don't stack on top of it, because that will move you away from the sale. I wanted to stop again briefly. We're about two-thirds of the way into this conversation, and I think you're starting to get the gist of this idea that you can do this kind of stuff and have the drive that Jeff has. If you haven't realized that, he's got this underlying passion to just do his thing. And these are the type of people when they just take the jump and just go do it, that these are the ones that I'm really inspired by, the ones that take ownership. And are you that one that wants to take ownership of your life? Are you? Do you feel like you haven't had that opportunity, or you just haven't gone after your thing? This is the time. Again, I want to remind you, go to the IDC Woodcraft YouTube channel. Come join me. Join the community. You're going to find how amazing these people are, especially when you start reading the comments. And join the CNC Entrepreneurs Facebook group. You may even want to join the Telegram group. That's where we're getting quite active and very interactive, not like Facebook, but the IDC or the CNC Entrepreneurs Facebook group is quite active. 17,000 members as of this moment. Come join us. Come join us. Go to the YouTube channel. Get inspired, because I really talk about this stuff a lot, about your spirit and your growth and how we're born to be creators. Let's get back to this. Well, hello, my brother CNC-er. I'm Garrett with IDC Woodcraft, and I'd like to welcome you to this podcast or video where we're going to talk to a brother CNC-er. His name is Jeff, and Jeff has been in the CNC space for about a year, I suppose. He can tell the story here shortly, and has found it to be something that he really wants to do, and is kind of finding his direction in it, and has run into kind of a, how would we say, a little bump in the road that has really forced him to network out into this space. So, Jeff, I'm going to let you introduce yourself and just kind of get everybody up to speed with where you're at, so that whoever's listening to this can have an idea of what this is about. The intention of this is to give you, as the viewer or listener, some guidance into getting into the CNC space in a business and understanding how to navigate some things that you may run into as you go along in your journey in starting your own business. So, Jeff, first of all, why don't you just take a moment and introduce yourself so that the viewer listener knows what's going on here.
Well, yeah, thank you, Garrett. My name is Jeff, and I've been dabbling in CNC for, I'd say a little over a year now. I was on one of your streams before, and we were talking about kind of my part-time direction with kind of where I was going with it. And so I was still kind of working on designing custom wood signs, trying to really get that out there to consumers on a really part-time basis, because I had a full-time job that I was doing. And that was really slow. I was okay with the growth being really slow because of the fact that I did have a full-time 9-to-5. And it wasn't really critical for growth at that time. So, but now I'm at a point now where I recently been let go from that job, and I've actually been looking for other just kind of regular 9-to-5s very recently, within the last 2 weeks, but honestly, I've had no bites right now. So the one thing I kind of have to really try to rely on is to try to grow my business, because that's something that I have right in front of me right now. So that's kind of where I've been at. The last 3 months has been really slow business-wise, because I've been really consumed with my 9-to-5. So I didn't really have a ton of time to put into that, to grow my business. But now that's pretty much all I have right now, is that time in between just filling out applications to try to get something solid.
Okay. Thanks for sharing that. So basically, Jeff has lost his job by no control of his own. And it's one of the things that happens from time to time, especially in the times that we're in the world today, where where business has been significantly affected by COVID, inflation, and what have you. And so Jeff is one of the unfortunate victims of cutbacks. I have had the fortune of talking to Jeff for quite a while here and there to see his progress and his general attitude in life and in approaching this CNC space. With what I've gotten a feel from you, Jeff, is there's a certain pull that you have to get into this, a certain passion that you're kind of feeling with this. Am I reading you right on this?
Yes, 100%. Yeah. Yeah, I by nature, I'm a creator. I like creating. I like helping people.
Because you'll add confusion to it. So go ahead.
Yeah. So, which everything you're saying makes sense with my sales background. So it's very similar to when I was like working in sales, selling vehicles. The best opportunity to try to get someone to make a commitment was basically right after the test drive, right after the height of the experience of with the car. And it's kind of like this golden window of like they're at an emotional peak, but obviously they got all of their logical information to be able to make that decision. And the more they think about it, the more they're going to confuse themselves, essentially. Or, you know, if they go to test drive 5 cars, they're never going to make a decision because they got way too much information. Just like if you're looking at 5-7 CNC machines, you're just going to get confused. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I totally understand kind of what you're saying with that. And if you have a commitment, you don't really want to add to that to complicate it. It's if you're already going to get a commitment, just let that happen and let that kind of solidify before you start adding on a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. On the flip side, if they're coming in with a certain lack of clarity, if they're going, I'm not sure, I really don't know, then the idea is to help them paint clarity into their picture. Well, what are you looking for? Why do you feel this way on that and not that? And let them do the talking. One of the worst things that people in when you don't have experience in business, and when it comes to CNC business, it is sales, but you don't have to like know sales. You don't have to be a salesperson. The best sales is the friend, the person who, yeah, your friend. And so the idea is to make friends with them. You want to either keep them into clarity, and if they're not having clarity, the clarity is just because they're not lots of little what they call objections up here. And so you want to have them paint the picture in their own mind. Is what do you want in this? Where would you put it? How do you visualize it? Right? We think in images. So you want your customer to see what the end game is. You want them to feel the end game. It feels like you just said, the best time is when right after the test drive, because they're high on the test drive. They still have that new car smell in their nose and how smooth it ran. So anyway, let's kind of come back on track here that you have this. Now, there's a couple other questions that you were asking me when we were talking about this before, when I said we got to be doing content on this so we can help other people.
So part of it was they were expressing that they were already getting this work done somewhere else, but it was extremely far away and they would be the ones dropping the material off. So they would be traveling long distances to get these shapes cut out. And, you know, so one, in my mind, even though it wasn't brought up, I knew, okay, they're already paying a specific price already. I don't know what that is. Also, I don't know what shop it was. I don't know what type of machines they have. So I don't know their rate of speed or their accuracy with the products. I don't think accuracy is a big deal when it comes to vinyl cutouts. You're not dealing with 10,000ths of an inch clearance. You're dealing with just visually it looks good. So that part I'm not worried about, but the speed and how much they would expect and how much they're willing to pay are the unknowns.
Yep. Okay. So you don't know what the volume is. You don't know what the turnaround requirements are, and you don't know what they are looking for as far as what the budget expectations are.
Right.
So the way to approach this is to ask, right? One of the things when it comes to sales, I hate to call it sales. We are in the business of solving people's problems. We're in a business of creating expression. What you said before, you're translating somebody's idea into reality for them. That's probably the best definition I've heard about what we do all day long. That's the best way I've heard it. So the idea is to, when you're approaching them, is to be the one to ask the questions. The person who asks questions is the one that's in control of the sale. And so the great thing about that is you don't have to try to justify. If I make this out of wood and I do spend all this kind of time and I do this and I do that, that's all justifying. And it's kind of, it puts out this feeling of I'm trying to make myself look better than everybody else. And that's, you're shooting yourself in the foot when you're doing that. Ask questions. So in this case, you want to ask, to start the dialogue. And if they, you first want to ask them, what kind of quantities are they looking for? What is their turnaround time? And what is their budget when it comes to this? The whole thing with this is they will give you the information. And if they turn it around into a question, let's just say, if they come to you, they say, okay, well, how many can you make and how much would it cost us? You immediately turn that around to a question. Is, well, what's the budget expectation that you have right now? What's the range that you're dealing with this? How many are you processing right now? So that I can get a better idea of what price points I need to work with that we can negotiate with. You know, them being in business, they are business owners and they do understand the nuances of business.
Right.
So you want to get in the habit of turning it around to a question. If you start coming right out with price points, then that could immediately, what you do is you're framing the whole thing, and it's too soon to frame it. And what I mean by framing is you're framing in their mind this, okay, he can make it for $1.50 a piece, and they may be paying $2.50 a piece already. So you want to get that idea of what they're already paying for them before you insert yours, because you could be shooting yourself in the foot by losing a dollar a piece. And then business is about making money. It's about negotiating deals, but it's ultimately about relationships. And so that's how you want to handle this. You always want to turn that around until you understand what their budget is. And then don't throw price points out right away. You come back later with a price point. You know, you have to study the material. Where are you going to get the material? Are you going to get it from them? Are they going to supply it? Or do you have to get it yourself? And what's the projected volumes? So all this you need to know up front before you even discuss price.
Right.
And it doesn't come off as pushy or anything. It's just information gathering. Right.
Well, especially when it's business to business, you can be a little bit more direct, and it's going to be understood that you're saving each other's time. You're not, you know, you're trying to kind of get to the point, but you're going to do it in a way where it's still like, you know, hey, maybe after this, we can grab a cup of coffee and not talk about work. You know, you can still maintain those relationships, but obviously when it comes to business, those relationships help, but sometimes those things still kind of get set aside where it's not going to hurt that. It's okay, you know, if it works, if it doesn't, then we understand. No harm, no foul. It's just trying to make a connection that is beneficial for both parties. So one thing I've already tapped into is, because there's a distance for them dropping off the materials, I already know that they're providing the materials now. Because of how established they are, they're probably going to get it cheaper than I can, and it's probably going to stay that way. the value to them is going to be the distance and the time they're going to save from driving that far to drop those materials off. So they might not necessarily be even looking for faster production or cheaper production. They're looking to save time in driving those long distances to get those machined. So in that aspect, I already know right off the bat, I'll be able to help with that. Two, I know because they themselves are entrepreneurs, it's a soft spot for them to help someone who is also a, you know, someone who's trying to become an entrepreneur themselves. So that to them in and of them itself is a emotional benefit to them. So they're filling up their emotional piggy bank by helping someone local out.
Yep. Those are also good points. Now, one of the things that you brought up is this is what they call B2B, business to business, as opposed to business to consumer, which is what most CNCers do. The benefit of going B2B is that you have more predictable revenue and the you can often get more for what, you know, without haggling. You come up with an agreement and then we have an agreement, that's what we're working with. And then you go back to the negotiating table at appropriate times if things change, you know, materials change or price of materials, things like that, or volumes change. One of the things that you said that was really, really important as well is the value element. What is valuable? I'm talking to the CNC brother or sister who's listening to this or watching this right now. Is one of the things that it's really important to know is who you're selling to in general. So Jeff knows he's selling to a business. He knows he's selling to, is this a mom and pop or is it a little bit bigger than mom and pop now?
It's a little bit bigger. They have a couple of employees. I don't know their ins and outs, but they're in like a corporate business center and they definitely have pre-made inventory. So they have an actual storefront, that people can go to, but they also will go and, do custom quotes usually they're probably the ones handling the bigger stuff where they're going to go and quote, but they definitely have an accountant. They definitely have someone covering the front desk. They definitely have someone that's like handling maneuvering of physical products, whether it's warehouse or whatever. So they're big enough, but it was a mom and pop, and it's really kind of at that beginning stages of them being an established business. Okay. And they probably have been for at least 5 years now.
Right. Okay. So did they make comment to you about the new entrepreneur that they experienced that in their time, or was there dialogue about that?
Yes. Because I even asked them, you know, cause I'm like, hey, you know, I'm kind of coming in specifically just to introduce myself, get to know the local businesses to try to work together. And, you know, I even asked them like, hey, maybe I could take you guys up for a cup of coffee. Maybe I can kind of pick your brain. Cause I know you've probably been where I'm at. And they're like, oh, absolutely. We started our business in the corner of a auto repair shop, when we first started. So they said, yeah, no, trust me, we know. If there's any way we can help you with information and getting started, ask away. No problem.
Perfect. Yep. So that's another thing that Jeff brought them into the space where they had been, where they were struggling. They were just starting out and trying to figure out the ropes. And now they're moving into a new space, more popular or more, I want to say small corporate type of space. It's not so much entrepreneurial anymore as it is, this is business now. And so that's really good that you've tapped into that. This is fundamental, because when you can get your prospect, as we'll call them, to a position of nostalgia and wow, look, in a little small sense, that's where they what you just did with them was they just went back to where they were. by engaging a type of dialogue. And there's just a certain feeling that they have of we've made it, you know, we've made it this far. Wow. And so that's an emotional journey that you took them on. So you're connecting with them in the right ways in this. So the important foundations have been set up on this whole thing to make this move in your direction. The value element is you're close. Do they have to go pick them up from wherever they get them from right now? Do they literally have to, they have to drive to get them?
From what I understand, they have to drop off the materials and they pick them up.
Okay.
Whereas, because I'm so close, I'd be more than willing to drive, pick up some material, bring it back. I could even offer that because, I mean, we're so close that, you know, unless it's really large material, which again, at the 30 by 30 long mill, you really only can work within 30 by 30 unless you're doing tiling, which I'm not, it doesn't look like that that's really what I'd be doing. Mm-hmm. I could clearly fit it into almost any size car and, you know, load up, get it going and bring the materials back. So I could add that value of, you don't even need to drive. I can come pick it up. We didn't talk about that yet, but that's something I have in my pocket when it comes to that dialogue starting again. Mm-hmm.
Okay. When that dialogue is starting, you want to retain that. You've already have these little bullets that are their inconveniences. These are what they call pain points that just, they're like, oh God, I got to go get those things. And then they don't want to, they're too busy doing the stuff that they want to do. And so when that dialogue comes up, you may even be able to precede this by just saying, you're 10 minutes away from me. You know, the minute they say that, you're 10 minutes away from me, I'll just come pick it up and bring it back to your house, you know. And so that's going to light them up right there. What they're likely going to do if they decide to move forward with you is, all right, we'll try this out for a little bit. They're not going to let go of their safety net right away, of what they tried and true, until you've proven yourself. And one of the things that I think is important in rapport building is an unexpected thoughtfulness that you can apply to when you're talking to somebody. So what is the common thread between you and them on a more personal level that you could play with?
Well, one is, so there's a few things. So they have kids that go to the same school district that I go to. One of their products that they make is actually for the school mascot, which is universal to the entire school district. So, I mean, we both have kids. Obviously I have a much younger daughter. They have kids that are in high school. But it's still within the same school district. Again, I think it's just kind of the creator mindset, liking the design process, the creation process, and kind of having a passion for quality. And making sure customers are satisfied. I'm a huge, anytime I've worked in a customer service role or sales role, I've always been very much about making sure that they're satisfied when they're done. Mm-hmm. And I can tell just by meeting with them too, that's very important to them as well. And having those relationships with their clients, as well as they want them to be satisfied with their product. So I think just on a business to business, I have a lot of experience in sales and they do themselves with their own business. So there's a lot of connecting points that I have similar experiences that they do as well. So I think those are a lot of, that's a lot of good connecting points that we can have a lot of rapport with.
How do you define a satisfied customer?
I mean, they usually, a satisfied customer is getting more than what they expected their purchase to be. Because if their purchase is exactly what they looked for, they expected that. Usually it's you're providing them with a little bit more added value than what they originally expected. And that creates a positive, a very positive experience that they're going to remember going forward.
Right. What is
you gotta set yourself apart.
Yeah. Yes. Very much so. Yeah. If you always want to take a minute to think about your customer, no matter who it is, whether it's a business owner or it's an individual, and identify something that's important to them and come out with something that will make them resonate a little bit. For example, there's lots of little things you can do. You know, a thank you card in the mail, handwritten, goes miles to because everything is emailed these days. And so the satisfied, yes, that's important. The school mascot, that was brought up. You brought that up. What's relevant to the school mascot itself?
So they usually are contracted a lot of the, say like there's an event and they have like the corrugated plastic signs that have the vinyl designs that are usually like either put in people's yards. When I was in there, they had like t-shirts, sweatshirts. So I know they got like a silk screen where they're doing like clothing and things like that. So I know that's a part of what they do. There's like the tumblers that have like the laser etched like designs. And basically it's mostly school mascot themed. So they do a lot of work with that for consumers to buy, because they're like, oh, hey, yeah, I want to have this t-shirt. I want them to know that I'm supporting my school. But then the actual school themselves during like events, like an open house, I definitely saw a lot of signage that was up that I could tell that they're the ones who did. So, and part of it too is they have a Facebook page too. So I made sure that I liked it, followed it. So anytime they have an update, I'm seeing what they're posting. So I'm seeing their products to do my research on them so that I know kind of what products they're making, especially the most recent stuff.
Okay. One thing to do is to research them a little bit to just understand, a little deeper what's important to them or what's important to them. I'm thinking, do you want to go into the personal space, the business space, and probably you want to, what's important to them in the business space that's going to help their business. So when you're dialoguing with this at the appropriate time, I would suggest that you come in with an idea of something that you can make for them that's a little bit different from what they're looking for, or ask them, what are some of the things that you want to have done that kind of fits in this element of what I do that you're struggling with? Maybe I can help you out, try something out. And when you'll start to get some hopes and desires or issues that they're struggling with. And if you can solve one of those problems and just bring it back to them and say, here's what I tried out, what do you think? Yeah, that's one of those things that starts to give you some brownie points that it may, when you're approaching with this one, with this, whatever you're doing right now, it may not pan out there, but you're opening other avenues to be able to do business with them by providing that's part of extra value, right? You get it made and you bring it to them and say, take it, it's yours. And so that's adding brownie points. Go ahead.
So the part of the conversation that I had with them too, that they actually kind of brought up, is because when I was showing them examples of what I was doing with my signs, is, like I wasn't trying to sell my services, but I was just saying like, hey, you guys work with the vinyl, have you ever thought about, having some of these instead of them being two-dimensional, having them more like three-dimensional with something being carved. So you have that kind of three-dimensional look to it. So it was just an idea. I wasn't selling them. I was, you know, but they were very open to the idea. And kind of my thought that I have, and kind of the full idea is, you know, this might open up avenues where they can provide to their, you know, their clients already, hey, we have something new we can offer. We have something that's different that we weren't able to do before. And it might be a higher end product. It might be, you know, hey, instead of it just being vinyl stickers, what if we carve into PVC, for example, and, you know, have, you know, kind of have like the two-tone painted process where you have like an actual side that's like 3 1/4 inches thick and is, you know, the double-sided carve where, you know, you, but you, they work with golf courses all the time, apparently. So, okay. You know, and obviously those have like, you know, ninth hole, whatever. You have so many opportunities for signs that could have carvings etched into them that would be weatherproofed, and CNC is really where you'd get that done. But, you know, say I'm the one who actually handles the creation of it. They're the ones that are kind of handling their clients, you know, and it's still going through their business, but essentially it would be contracting out to me. This is an idea that is still too much to drop on them. Not right now. Mm-hmm. I got to build that relationship, but those are ideas where I could be like, hey, you know, maybe this could be incorporated into your business. Maybe we can become a little bit more partners and we can, you know, I can help you achieve something different. That's a new avenue, something new you can market and add to your business.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. We'll have to role play that a little bit to get you engaged in that. Although you've got sales experience, but we can role play that a little bit. What I mean by role play is when we practice things, we can actually practice the dialogue, pretending one person is the business owner and the other person you would be the person who's working up the deal. And by role play, you learn about objections. And what objections are, did I explain what objections were before?
No,
objections are either questions that they have in their head. Basically, it's an objection is essentially lack of clarity, what the benefit to them will be. And so there's all kinds of objections. So it's, we won't go into that here. Role playing is a lot of fun, and it gives you, as someone who's selling stuff, a lot of clarity as to how to move forward and to ask the right kind of questions and to drum up the answers. The other thing is the thing about role play is you help your customer answer their own questions. That's the best way to do it. If you answer their questions, that doesn't mean much. But if they're answering their own questions, it means a ton. So with this, then, what I would do is next time you talk to them, if the conversation warrants it at the appropriate time, after you've done some business, or not done some business, but came to this agreement of, okay, we'll try this out, and you may not have negotiated something all the way, but you can do that little questioning with them in some dialogue of where you can say, Jeff, you know, if you don't mind me asking, what kind of challenges are you having right now? What kind of products would you like to get out that you're not able to do that maybe I could work on for you? Just try a sample out. Yeah, and would you be open to me trying something out for you? Whatever, you can steer that conversation down that road. The whole point of that is you're delivering some value. You're trying to help them solve a problem,
right?
And then you come back with a sample, and they're like, "Oh, this is exactly what I was looking for," right? And that's a big brownie point. One of the things I want to point out is the business card concept. What do most people do with business cards?
They generally aren't going to look at them again.
Throw them in the garbage. So what I would challenge you is to pitch the business card idea and provide something that would be harder to throw away that would still connect you. You know, it can be a little figurine or something, whatever it may be that you can create on your machine, but it's also something that's generally meaningful to people. And it will have your information on it as well. Or you can give it with the business card. But you want that, you want this association. A business card has no emotional value. It's a card. Everybody hands it out. It takes up space. So you want something else to be going with it. So try to think of something that is going to be just have general meaning to somebody that's easy to make. I don't know what it would be.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll let you toy on that. Okay. So what have you kind of picked up through this conversation so far?
Well, I mean, I think, I know I'm on a good track with it. I've definitely gotten a little bit of clarity as far as the guidance of how the next conversation should go. So that, you know, as far as, you know, knowing what questions to ask, you know, giving them obviously the opportunity to ask questions too. Obviously not to be too pushy, but to find out and ask, like, okay, yeah, what's your budget? What's your, you know, how many pieces, you know, is your expectation per week with this particular project? What's your projection as far as what are you going to require to be completed within X amount of time? So that way I can know by doing the math, okay, can my machine do it? How long do I need to be in front of that machine? Do I have enough hours in the day to do it? And so that way I know, okay, am I going to take on something that I know I wouldn't have time to do and make them mad and then never use me again? Or just be realistic with them and be like, you know, hey, I would love to help you out. This is kind of the limitations I have until I grow, you know, but this is what I would be able to do kind of at a max capacity. And, you know, obviously be willing to work with them. Because if their expectations are like up here and I can't get there, I have to be honest with them. And that honesty might be like, all right, well, maybe we can't use you for this, but maybe we could find something else that would still be beneficial and still help each other out. Yeah, I just got to be realistic with it. So
yeah, one of the things is if you can't meet the expectations, it doesn't mean you can't be a secondary provider.
Exactly.
Right. And meet some of the demand. So there's one other thing I want to share with you before we end this to be aware of. There is something out there called GEM theory when it comes to people, GEM, G-E-M, right? Like diamonds and rubies. So there are four, what we'll call temperaments or personalities, primary personalities. And we all carry elements of all four of these personalities. But for most of us, we have a primary GEM. And so the GEM theory is we will take sapphire, ruby, pearls, and emeralds. And so the sapphire, the four, one is fun. A fun, you know, kind of loose type of person to just not the, hey, man, what's going on? Yeah, you know, that's the sapphire. There's the pearl, which the pearl is, oh, this is so soft and cushy, and I just love this, right? The emerald is, give me the facts and figures. I want to know right now. And this is how I see the world. And the ruby is these are the items that represent who I am. The ruby is usually the one that's driving more expensive cars, things like that. So the idea is to get familiar, be aware of what specific personality is their dominant personality. She may have a slightly different one from him. Right? The whole reason of bringing this up is, if you can understand their general characteristic when it comes to this GEM theory, I suggest you look it up. And if I remember, I'll put a link down in the description of the video or the podcast for you to be able to see this gem theory, is you want to talk to them in that kind of in that space. So if you're a sapphire and I say, hey man, what's going on, right? We can relate. We've got this underlying similar energy. If you're cut loose, if you're a pearl, you can start talking about how beautiful the mountains are at night, and watching the stars over it, and how fluffy it makes you feel, and how you really care about other people. That's the pearl. The emerald, of course, is the numbers guy, that the data cruncher. And so that's a person you give them the facts and the details. And the ruby is the one that just it's kind of an ego, more of an ego, this is who I am, right? It's a status, more status driven, I guess, is a good way of putting it. So just be aware of that when you're going in and talking to them. I think you've already naturally have honed in on that, which was one of the ways that made your conversation already very natural for them. So your gem matches theirs. I'm going to think that you're something of a pearl.
I think I'm more of a combination of a pearl and an emerald. I think, because you're always going to have one that's dominant. You're going to have a secondary. I've been through these trainings before about in the sales trainings that I've had that they've done this, they've had different names for it. But basically it was like there was blue, there was green, there was yellow, there was red. And red was always the same thing as with this, is it's a fiery personality. It's right. I want results now, dominant, type A, just hammer away until they get what they want. So I think I'm a little bit more reserved naturally. I care about kind of what other people think, but I also really do like the data and the numbers. And if it doesn't make sense to me, then it's hard for me to sell something that doesn't make sense. If it doesn't logically make sense, it's hard for me to be behind it.
Right. When I'm selling. Yeah. Okay. Very, very good. So when will you talk to them again? Oh, I think we lost him for a moment.
Am going to try to reach out to them. Yeah. I'm going to try to reach out to them this early next week. They might be in Monday. So I might try to get in touch with them either Monday or Tuesday. I might just even stop by to see them in person and just to connect. definitely early next week for sure. I'm going to get in touch with them just kind of see where their needs are. And I know it might not be anything that's right away either. They might have to wait for a contract that they would consider, like, oh, okay, now we have this option. So I might have to wait for something like that. I know it's not going to be right away money. Mm. It's investing for future opportunities and building those relationships. So I know, yes, I can't press into that and be like, hey, give me work right now. But it's more so, yeah, hey, do you have any immediate needs? If not, I'll touch base with you in a week and see where you're at. Mm-hmm.
And don't be afraid to ask for, if they know other people. If you have enough rapport built, they know your situation. Don't be afraid to ask.
Right.
So other references.
Yeah.
So because there's nothing better to be able to come into a conversation, a new conversation. Hi, John. I was just talking to Sue, and she recommended that I talk to you. You immediately have a good standing.
Yeah. So, and then I don't know if you want me to go into kind of what my other kind of goals have been with like realtor closing signs and some of the other components. I don't know if you want to talk about that now or.
I think we've been talking a little over an hour now, or just about an hour. I think we can. Is this something you want to address now?
I mean, I do, because I think that's going to be my next. I think that's going to be my next kind of direct income avenue. this is what is going to build kind of my company's foundation and what I'm trying to press.
Okay. Now let's leave this for another conversation.
Okay.
Yep.
Totally understand.
Yep. But this goes back to the clarity thing. If we start dumping a completely different topic out into content space, now we're bringing in two different things. One of the foundations when it comes to creating videos and podcasts is pick a subject and stay in a subject. So this subject, this one is about how we're going to navigate this particular relationship that you've built, and what's the proper way to do this. So we'll leave it at that one, and then the next one we'll talk about that one. That's not as urgent as far as I know. You want to get the business going, but it's, right now the urgency is getting the dollars coming in the door.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. With that, then is there any parting words you'd like to give whoever's listening to this or watching this, one of our brothers CNCers or sister CNCers?
I guess one thing I've seen with doing this is if I didn't get into this hobby, I wouldn't really have anything else to kind of fall back on other than having to get a 9-to-5. This gives me actually a lot of hope being in this. And this is giving me an opportunity to see hey, let's see if this has legs. Let's see if this has, let's see if this can stand up. And I'm hopeful. So a little bit of scary times right now, but you know, I'm excited in the same sense. So I think that can add some value to other people's situations, regardless of where they're at too. That, you know, this is something that is giving me something else other than me just having to find another job.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point to paint. That buying the CNC router, when you got into it, you bought it because you wanted to make a set of speakers for your dad. Yeah. And little did you realize you were going to start making sales with it. So there really wasn't a question of the idea that you're going to buy it for business. You bought it because you wanted to solve this desire. And it has created a space, like you just said, for something to fall back on. You didn't even realize it, but now it's like, oh, I got this. Now we really have to work with this. Where I want to go with this whole kind of concept that you just brought up is, I know that sometimes we get afraid to dive into certain things because inside we don't really know if it's going to work for us. In this case, I know there are potential brother and sister CNCers out there who have their eyeballs on it, but in somewhere inside they don't trust themselves either that they can make a go of it as a business, or they just don't trust themselves because they don't understand computers or just think it's too techy and things like that. And one of the things I want to relay on that is, as people, we need challenge to keep us motivated. We need something to conquer. And when we lose that ability to conquer something, where we just lose our I'm not sure the word to use is just that desire to learn something new, to take on a new challenge, life kind of flatlines. It kind of becomes boring, and boring sucks, right? We're either growing, which is we're learning, we're taking on new challenges, or we're just dying. Really, it's that if we don't have things, this is just my personal perspective, but I'm just talking to the person who's thinking about this CNC world. And if you've just been dancing on it for a year and just thinking, maybe not, you're holding yourself back from something you're already being called to. Take the dive. Sometimes it's worried about the investment, the upfront investment of a $2,000 CNC machine and a couple $100 design program. But imagine what it would be like had that decision been made a year ago and dove into it, and where you would be now. that you would be creating. The worst enemy in life is procrastination. Because when we feel like we're being called to something and we allow ourselves to hold back because I don't have the money or I'm afraid to learn, we kind of lock ourselves in this position of indecision and this quiet stress. And for me, I can say kind of a quiet desperation to want change, but being too afraid to dive into that to see if I can get there. So very different little dialogue, but that's where I come from and when I'm doing what I do to teach CNC machines and to guide people into the business. And so I thank you, Jeff, for taking some time to share your journey and be able to talk about it and being humble enough to talk about it and be willing to explore the different ways to approach this journey. I want you to succeed in this. You've got everybody's got the potential to do it. We just have to learn how to do it and do it the right way. And when we do that, we can have a very happy, successful business and actually do really well in CNC. It just takes a little bit of time and we have to build the skill, but we have to take the plunge.
Yep.
Okay. With that, Jeff, thank you. And we're going to check out of this. And until next time, we'll do this other dialogue to talk about this broader vision to build the vision for your business, get clarity on the direction you're going to go. So, all right, say goodbye, Jeff, and we're going to check out.
Have a good one. Thanks.